learning what Jesus taught his disciples about prayer, teaching them how to pray as we too learn how to pray ourselves. Let us bow our heads. Most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time because you have been preparing our hearts and our minds for this very moment. You long to feed us with the only thing that can satisfy our souls, and that is the Word of God. So speak to us, Father. Send us your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we ponder those questions, do you remember what it was that led the disciples to ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray"? Oh, that's right. It was actually the conclusion that they drew of the things that Jesus did that was directly related to how he prayed. It's amazing. I mean, you read Matthew chapter 14, and we see Jesus praying, and the very next thing he does is he's walking on water. I don't know about you, but I can't walk on water. How about you? But these are the things that Jesus can do. And some questions I posed last week, I want to revisit them so that they're still fresh in our minds. The first one was, how has your prayer time with God changed you? Because prayer does not change God, as we saw last week, because God doesn't need to change. The Bible says God changes not. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if we're praying to God, it's not God who needs to be changed. It's me. It's you. It's us. So how has our prayer time with God changed me? How willing are we to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of what needs to change in our lives when we pray? Or is it that I'm praying and God's talking to me and I'm saying, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. But if the Holy Spirit is talking to me, is it where we say, I hear you, God, and I am willing? Another question. Do I tell others my problems more than God? Or do I tell God all my problems and others don't know a thing of what's going on? Now, I wanted to clear something up of that statement I made last week. I think there is a difference between talking to God and telling him all of our challenges and problems and putting everything that's going on in our lives on Facebook. I think there's a place for us to seek godly counsel. The Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. But if all we're going to are to godly counselors and not going to God himself, something's missing. There's a time and place for all things. Another question to ponder that we posed last week was, how is the greatest gift ever given to mankind reflected in my prayers to the Father? Because my Bible tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And then the Bible continues to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. So if I'm going to be praying to God, the Father, I need to have the greatest gift ever given to me reflected in my prayer time. Because the Bible says, nobody goes to the Father except through Jesus. How is the love of God leading me to obedience. Because if I'm talking to God and I'm telling God, forgive me for this, forgive me for that, and thank you for this, and thank you for that, and I'm getting up from my prayer and going and doing garbage, what's up with that? That doesn't seem too consistent, does it? So the love of God that I see expressed in Christ, I mention in my prayer time. That also leads me to want to obey God. Also, am I reverent when I pray to him, or do I talk to him as if he was just another person? It is good at least once a day to kneel down when we pray. We can pray sitting, we can pray standing, we can pray driving, we can pray running, or whatever may be the case. But it's good at least once a day to kneel down before he whom angels adore, whom cherubim and seraphim say, holy, holy, holy. And after praying, do I reflect his character to others or my own? In other words, when I finish praying, do I look more like him or more like me? It should be that little by little, I start looking more like him and a whole lot less like me. I feel like I have no space up here. That's okay. Thy kingdom come. Thank you for that beautiful song. Come thou long expected, Lord. Because last week, we took a look at our Father. You see, Jesus wanted us to understand how we should direct ourselves to God. And he gave us the context of family. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's all we took a look at last week. And today we get to thy kingdom come. Look at this. The disciples of Christ were looking, where you see it's bolded, read it together out loud with me. The disciples of Christ were looking for the immediate coming of the kingdom of his glory. But in giving this prayer, Jesus taught that the kingdom was not then to be established. So Jesus was telling the disciples, I'm coming back, but it's just not happening right now. So you're going to have to do some praying and some things need to happen. She continues to write, they were to pray for its coming as an event yet future. But this petition was also an assurance to them. While they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day, the fact that Jesus bade them pray for it is evidence that in God's own time, it will surely come. Do you believe that? You see, we call ourselves Seventh Day Maybes, Seventh Day stuck in traffic. No, we are Seventh Day Adventists. And we believe in the imminent return of Christ. That his return is not a long way off, but his return is soon. Can you imagine this reality? Could you imagine what it will be to see Jesus face to face? Wow. You see, this reality, get this, it's true. God's word says it. The question is, do you believe it? Do I believe it? John 14, 1 through 3, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is the word of God. Jesus promises to come back, and he is coming back soon. This picture was taken on our wedding day. We got married in Yosemite, California, at Camp Wawona. And if you've ever been there, there's like a Bible bowl where it's more like an amphitheater where the seats are towards the top and the seats start descending. And then at the very bottom is where you have the platform. And so on wedding day, I got to see my bride descend through the pews down to where I was. And you can't see in the picture per se, but there was tears streaming down my eyes because I had been waiting for that day. And finally, it was happening. That day and thereafter, I no longer had to tell my fiance, I'll see you tomorrow. Or you go that way and I go that way. See you later. But no, we were going to be going home to the same place at the same time. And I'd have to stop and ask myself, whoa, we're married. I don't know if you remember when you got married and that reality sunk in. Whoa, we're married. We are one, we are family. I had to get this, believe it. And Jesus' second coming, we have to do the same thing. We have to believe it. Because that belief then affects everything else we do. His kingdom will not come until the good tidings of his grace have been carried to where? To all the earth. Hence, as we give ourselves to God and win other souls to him, we hasten the coming of his kingdom. So get this. I tell others about Jesus. You tell others about Jesus. Does Jesus come quicker or does he come slower? He comes quicker. Only those who devote themselves to his service, saying, here I am, send me, to open blind eyes, to turn men from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, they alone pray in sincerity, thy kingdom come. So get this. If I'm praying to God, and I even mention the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. If all I'm saying is thy kingdom come, but I'm not actively telling others about Jesus' second coming and how they can also be ready for his coming, then guess what? There's a word for this. It's called lip service. It's just words. But when I put God's word into action, now that's where change happens. Step one, and there's three steps we'll take a look at today. Step one, give ourselves to God. See, that's what I did on my wedding day. I gave myself to my spouse, and now we're together, and we move forward, living and walking together. And giving ourselves to God is the beginning of our walk with God. And for some of us, that beginning may have been a long time ago, or maybe not that long ago. I'm talking about Jesus' second coming. And the question is, when will he return? Or you might be thinking, Pastor, you sound a lot like Noah. It's going to rain. Yeah, I've heard that before. But no, he is coming. No, he is coming. He is coming. The Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? in all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Wow. So this, thy kingdom come, that's me telling others about Jesus, is directly connected to Jesus' second coming. Am I praying thy kingdom come? That's a question I need to ask myself. But better yet, let me take that a step further. Am I praying, period? Because if I'm not praying, guess what? I'm not praying thy kingdom come. I'm not getting to that point. And some of us are needing to stoke that fire. Stoke that fire of talking to Jesus. Just like when you were talking and burning the midnight oil when you were just about to get married. Talking like there's no tomorrow. Talking even though you had to wake up early the next day to go to school or go to work. Talking because that made all the difference. And so much more with Jesus. You know, it's funny. I'll start seeing a couple people over here together, and then I'll see them over there together, and I'll ask them, hey, what's cooking? What's going on? Or is there something going on between you guys? And they'll say, no. We're just friends. But yet they talk together like there's no tomorrow. You see, the amount of communication reveals the health of the relationship. So if two people of the opposite gender are talking like there's no tomorrow, they may not have a title, but guess what? There's something, and something's cooking. But let's bring that in regards to us and God. If I'm talking a lot to Jesus, what does that say of my relationship with Jesus? It says it's doing good. But if I'm not talking a whole lot to Jesus, then what does that say about my relationship with Jesus? Yeah. Preacher's kid, know what's up. If I'm not talking much to Jesus, then today is a great day to start doing that. It's never too late to start. What was the problem with the church at Ephesus? In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we find seven churches with seven messages. And Ephesus is the first church. And Ephesus had a little problem. The Ephesian church, their lack of interest in the salvation of souls showed that they had lost their first what? For none can love God with the whole heart, mind, and soul, and strength without loving those for whom Christ died. God called upon them to repent and do the first works, else the candlestick would be removed out of its place. So if me telling others about Jesus really, really does not come naturally, that's actually not the problem. The problem is actually much, much deeper. You see this picture? That's a good-looking couple, if you ask me. Not that I'm biased. And you might be tempted to think that that's our wedding day. But you know not my wife, as she has far too many ideas that I can catch up with. She said, honey, it's going to be our 1-year anniversary. You think it'd be okay if maybe we go to Yosemite and dress up? I'll be in my wedding gown, and you put on a nice suit, and we take pictures? I said, well, sure, why not? And so, lo and behold, we drive from San Jose to Yosemite National Park, we set up the tripod, and there you go. All for the purpose of remembering. Some of you had an anniversary recently. You remembered. You remembered when it all began. The message to the Ephesians was, you forgot. You forgot your first love. Do you remember when you first gave your life to Jesus? You see, as a minister of the gospel, I am not shy to ask people about whether or not they need to give their lives to Jesus in the form of baptism. I won't necessarily be making a public appeal this morning, but there could be someone who needs to give their life to Jesus soon in the form of baptism. Because didn't Jesus tell his disciples, go ye therefore, teach, preach, and baptize to all nations, and then what will happen? Until when? Then Jesus will come back. So this telling others about Jesus hastens his coming, but what about your readiness and my readiness? And so, before I go to the next slide, is there someone here who, as I'm talking about Jesus and his second coming and about giving their life to Jesus, is there someone here who would like to say, Pastor, someday soon I would like to be baptized? Is that you? You can raise your hand. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God is working on hearts. Don't let today go by without thinking about that question. You see, no love for souls means one thing. I'm cold in my relationship with Jesus. I told you, not telling others about Jesus, that's the fruit of the issue. The root of the issue is me and Jesus, we ain't that tight. That's the root. Thy kingdom come. That is what Jesus told his disciples to pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is coming. Hello, newsflash. Jesus is coming soon. And if he's coming soon, it's time to get ready, friends. And some of us, we want to pray this prayer. Like, Lord, I'm sick and tired of this world. Please come back today. And others of us, when we think about Jesus coming, we're like, whoa, Jesus, please don't come back today. Don't come back tomorrow either, because I'm not ready. It is time to be right with the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That kingdom come. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3-5. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be condemned. It is time to believe in Jesus. It is time to give our lives to him this very day, even anew. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye second. Third, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What kingdom has been on our minds lately? If it's just about the new government coming into place, is it just about the atrocities happening in our country? It's time we focus a lot further north than just this place that is going to burn and burn soon. How are we doing with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this was part of what Jesus was trying to convey to us when we say our Father. Because Jesus, when he got baptized, what are the words that he heard from his dad? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We'll never fulfill the gospel commission if we don't believe in Jesus, the one whose kingdom is coming? Are we just friends with Jesus? I don't know how you would describe your prayer life, but I believe it's time we start talking to him a whole lot more. And I praise God for the prayer rally we had last weekend, where we prayed for 24 hours straight. I praise God for this series on prayer that continues through the rest of the month. I praise God for the 10 days of prayer that starts this Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here, because it's time we talk with Jesus more. My most favorite hymn is not found in the hymnal. It used to be. But the lyrics are up on the screen. And if you know the melody, you can sing it with me. The theme of the Bible is Jesus and how he died to save man. The plan of salvation assures us he's coming back again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought the good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my Lord? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Don't cling to this world and its treasure. This earth will soon pass away. Oh, give him your love without measure. He's calling you today. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought the good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my Lord? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Amen. The question remains, are you ready for Jesus to come? The 8th best American movie of all time. Do you know what it is according to Wikipedia? I'm glad you don't know. Schindler's List. A movie depicted in Poland, the Nazis had overtook that area. And Schindler, he had a factory where he was able to employ Jews. And in so doing, he was able to save over 1,000 Jews. And their names were on his list of employees, hence the name Schindler's List. And an interesting dialogue comes about in that movie between Oscar Schindler and his manager of operations, Itzhak Stern. Schindler said, I could have got more out. I could have got more. I don't know if I could have got more. Oscar, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them. If I had made more money, I threw away so much money. You have no idea if I just There will be generations because of what you did. I didn't do enough. You did so much. He looks at his car. This car, Geth would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. He removes his Nazi pin from his lapel. This pin, 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. He would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. 1 more person. A person, Stern, for this. I could have gotten 1 more person. And I didn't. And I didn't. The war that you and I find ourselves in is much greater than this one. It's a war for mankind and the salvation of man. You see, we get excited about what we know. We get excited about the Bible verses we know, about the quotes from Spirit of Prophecy. We get sufficed with our earnings, with our treasures, as if that amounted to something. And granted, they all have their place. But I wonder if there could be a day in which we, like Schindler, could say, I wish I could have gotten 1 more. Am I ready for Jesus to come? Because if I'm not ready for Jesus to come, or maybe I am ready for Jesus to come, are those you know and love and care about ready for Jesus to come? That's the question. If you're married, is your spouse ready for Jesus to come? If you got kids, are your kids ready for Jesus to come? If you're single, are you ready for Jesus to come? That is the question. And if I am, now it's time to go get others to be ready for Jesus to come. Amen? How about the people we don't know? Ever thought about that? Because we live in where? Roseburg, Oregon. And I've done some very unofficial, unscientific studies. We have, give or take, on a good Sabbath, 250-ish in attendance. And if you take into account our sister churches, Turning Point, Sutherland, Winston, and Glide, and we come to a certain number of those that worship on the Sabbath. And I'd like to mention to you that the elders are working on some plans to reach those that used to worship with us. And they tell me that of that number, there's at least 1,200 people. We have our work cut out for us. But if you add in the 1,200, if you add in the regular worshipers on Sabbath morning in the greater Roseburg area, you want to know what that amounts to the greater population of Roseburg? It amounts to 3%. That means 97%, they're still out there. You see, it's not enough to have our church filled. It is time we duplicate, triplicate, make at least 4, 5, 6 churches in this area according to the population that we have. United with Christ in God, we shall reveal to the world that as God chose his Son to be his representatives on the earth, even so has Christ chosen us to represent his character. Everyone who has what kind of faith? Genuine faith in Christ will represent him in character. And that's eye-opening to me. Because I recognize there's still things in my life that still don't look like his character. How about you? Personal effort for others should be preceded by what? Much secret prayer. That's like the opposite of a little bit of prayer. For it requires great wisdom to understand the science of saving souls. You see, we don't know how to reach the heart, but God does. We don't know who's ready to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, but God opens the doors at the right time, at the right place, so that happens. And for that to occur in our lives requires much prayer. Before communicating with men, commune with who? Christ. At the throne of the heavenly grace to obtain a preparation for ministering to the people. Christ's Object Lessons 149. You see, if only we could skip the thy kingdom come, we'd be all right. If only I wouldn't have to tell you that Jesus is coming back soon. If only I didn't have to tell me I need to be right with God and invite him into my heart today. But guess what? We cannot leave this place without giving this serious thought and making a decision. What are we doing about his kingdom that is coming? Because if I think it's not going to rain, I don't get close to the umbrella. But if I think it is going to rain, I get my umbrella, I get my raincoat, I get my boots on. Is Jesus coming back? Then it's time to get my flashlight. It is time to let his spirit work in my heart so that rather than being like this, I'm like this, happy and ready to share love and kindness to those who are hurting. They are to be co-laborers of Christ in establishing his kingdom on the earth. In harmony with the prayer of the Savior, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Are we praying the way Jesus prayed? When I pray, is his coming part of my thinking and my prayers? I need to ask you, and you don't need to answer publicly. I need to ask you, who isn't ready to see Jesus face to face? We sang, are you ready for Jesus to come? If today you do not find yourself ready to see Jesus in all of his glory, invite him into your heart today. Talk to him. He knows how you feel, and he wants to hear from you. Step number two. Win other souls to Jesus. What was step number one? Step number one, give ourselves to Jesus. Give our lives to Jesus. Because if I don't give my life to Jesus, you think I'm going to want to win other souls to Jesus? No. You see, when I was a kid and I would ask my mom if I can go somewhere and she said no, or really thought I should not go, but what it really meant is I'm not going. She would say this, no te vistes que no vas. You know what that means? She says, don't get dressed because you ain't going. And if I am not right with Jesus, I'm not going to tell others about Jesus. Are we right with Jesus? And if so, it is time to tell others about Jesus. Ye churches of the living God, study this promise and consider how your lack of faith and spirituality of divine power is hindering the coming of the what? The kingdom of God. If you would go forth to do Christ's work, angels of God would open the way before you, preparing hearts to receive the gospel. Were every one of you a living missionary, the message for this time would be speedily proclaimed in what countries? All countries. To every people, nation, and tongue. This is the work that could be done, that must be done before Christ shall come in power and great glory. I call upon the church to what? pray earnestly that you may understand your responsibilities. Are you individually laborers together with God? If not, why not? When do you mean to do your heaven-appointed work? I'm so glad that you are here today. I'm so glad because you're making decisions to invite Jesus into your heart. But another reason why I'm glad you're here is because you can reach people that I will never reach, and vice versa. You go to places that I have no reason to go there myself. It may be your occupation. It may be where you shop. It may be hobbies, what have you. But you come in contact with people that other people won't. And so you're the missionary in that locale at that given time. And as we pray earnestly, God will open those doors. We're supposed to do what, Pastor? We're supposed to save souls? You're absolutely right, and that's connected to praying. Now let us get to the last portion of today's message. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I started to pray and research this, I thought to myself, you know what, there's not a lot of meat on this bone. But then I was rebuked strongly. What do you think heaven looks like? Ever thought about that? You think it looks just like here? No, it doesn't. Look at this quote. The will of God is expressed in the precepts of his holy law. The principles of this law are the principles of heaven. So get this. This is what heaven looks like. It looks like a holy place. In fact, heaven will be a place where his law is kept. Why? Because his holy law are the principles of what place? Heaven. So, thy will be done on earth, where? As it is in heaven. And the laws of God, God's holy law, are the principles of heaven. The petition, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, is a prayer that the reign of evil on this earth may be ended. Why? Because there's a lot of sin in it. That sin may be forever destroyed and the kingdom of righteousness be established. Then in earth as it is in heaven will be fulfilled, all the good pleasure of his goodness. Why would Jesus desire to do his Father's will? Ever thought about that? The Bible says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my what? What do we do with our heart? We love. You're absolutely right. You see, we go visit somewhere, and I'm biased, so let's say we go visit New York, and we go to the street vendor, and we buy a t-shirt, and it says, I heart New York. I love New York. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. In other words, for Jesus, he loved to do his Father's will. Why? Because he loved his Father. Why did he love his Father? Because his Father loved him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. It's interesting. Mommy and Daddy will hear words like this. I love you, Mommy and Daddy. And then we will reply, thank you. We appreciate those words, but then we will say, show us. Because we can say, I love you, God, as much as we want. But if our actions are not consistent with what comes out of our mouths, something's not right. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was about his Father's business because his law and his will was his desire. You see, why is it that we keep on coming back to the Father? He is our God. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who cares about us. He's the one that desires that we call him Dad. What is our Father's business anyway? Because Jesus said he was about his Father's business. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his Father's business. And if this was Jesus's motto, if this was and still is his Father's business, what's our business? Is it not the same? To seek and to save that which was lost. But what if I don't want to? Pastor, I know that we're supposed to tell others about Jesus. I know that we need to seek and save the lost. But I really, you know, that's not for me. Maybe that's for somebody else, but not me. Ever felt that way? What is it that we see Jesus praying to his Father? He prays to his Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He prays it three times, the same prayer. Jesus knew what his mission was and was not afraid to say, I may have some other ideas, but what you want from me is much greater. What does thy kingdom come have to do with thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, have to do with one another? Well, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So get this. If I want to be ready for Jesus' second coming, and if I have accepted Christ into my heart, then the next logical thing that I need to do is to submit my will to do God's will and not my own will. Because if I just say, Lord, Lord, if I just say I'm a Christian, that's only so good. Not everyone who enters, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. When my prayer is for thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, which includes my life and how I live, then my life in turn changes. Jesus not only prayed, not my will, but thy will be done, he actually lived that way. Let me move forward here. In every marriage, there is something that comes about. I don't know how it happens, but it just does. And it looks like this. It's a honey-do list. And us husbands, we get to do this. That's different from having to do this. We get to do this. In fact, we want to do this. Amen? Why? Because of the one that we love. That's the sole reason why we do the items on the honey-do list, because we love them and they love us. That is why we serve one another. That is why we say, you know what, I could be, you know, I can catch another round of golf some other day. I could work on this project she wants me to do. You see, it is all based on our love towards the other person. And if the love of God has been given to us, what an opportunity to say, you know what? I have some other thoughts of doing some other things, but God, I want to do what you want me to do. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Jesus, he told a parable about two sons. This father, he tells his sons, to go on a certain job, a certain errand. One son says, I'll do it. Ends up not doing it. The other son says, I'm not doing it. But he ends up doing it. Interesting. Interesting parable. You see, our prayers need to look like the third son. Pastor, I thought there was only two sons. Well, who's the one telling the story? The third son. He's the son of God. God's only son. You see, Jesus not only said he was going to do it, he actually did it. Jesus did what he did and lived the way he did as it were in heaven. Step number three, surrender to the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way that you and I will want to do what he wants us to do. How is my prayer life? I gave you questions to ponder as we concluded last week. Have I given my life to Jesus when? Every time you pray in your private time at home, say, Jesus, come into my heart. That's something to include in our prayers. Number two, in our prayer time, are we seeking the lost? Let me tell you, there's people I've been praying for many years to come to the Lord, and I'm still going to pray for them because God's still working on them. While they still have breath, God is still working on them. And am I submitting to the Holy Spirit and doing God's will rather than my own? Because if we're praying and getting up and just doing what we want to do anyway, something's wrong with that picture. Since prayer changes me, how is God through prayer preparing me for Jesus' second coming? Since God changes me through prayer, how is God through prayer moving me to tell others about Jesus? And lastly, how is God through prayer continuously leading me to do my Father's will? These are things we need to wrestle with. You see, friends, prayer is not what you do. Prayer is how you live. Prayer is not what you do when you're up a creek without a paddle. Prayer is how you start your day and end your day and do everything in between those two points. Prayer is what leads us to love God. Prayer is what leads us to love others. Prayer is what leads us to do God's will. And today, Jesus said, do these things in remembrance of me. It's kind of like an anniversary. We look back to what Jesus has done. And Jesus also said, I will not eat of this until you are with me when? In heaven. You see, we come and celebrate communion, and we search our hearts and we confess our sins. Why? Because there may have been some things that I did that was not as it was done in heaven. And I'm realizing that today, my life needs to be more in conjunction, in agreement with how things will be in heaven. If you're wondering if some things are right or wrong to do in your life, ask that question. Am I going to be doing that up there? And we have a quick answer. And so as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we practice open communion. That means, if you are a Seventh-day Adventist or a Christian of a different faith, you are welcome to partake of it. Jesus, he served his disciples by washing their feet, and we will follow his example. We have a Sab school room that is set up for the ladies over here to my right, your left, and one for the men, And we have the BLC is set up also for couples. We will make things right with our brother and sister, and then we will come back to this place and partake of the Lord's Supper. And so I'd like to invite you to seek your brother and sister in Christ, to seek the Lord as we wait for his soon return.